I think just about the most epic song to come out of 2019. Turn Off the News, Build a Garden, Lucas Nelson, and Promise of the Real. Indigenous, Let's Carry On, and Charlie Crockett, I'm Just a Clown. It's Undercurrents coming back with Buddy Guy in just a minute.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. In a fast-paced society where information overload has become the norm, with scrolls, clicks, and notifications constantly competing for our attention, the ability to find clarity amidst chaos has never been more difficult or important, especially after this last election. Today's guest says that the ability to thrive amidst a constant barrage of external input lies in our ability to connect with the innate power of our intuition. Our guest today is Happy Ali, author of the new book, The Intuition Bible, How and Why to Tap into Your Inner Wisdom. With a BA in psychology from UCLA, Happy is a prophetic dreamer, certified master NLP practitioner, master clinical hypnotherapist, and host of the Happy Insights podcast. Happy's spiritual journey began in 1995 when he dedicated his life to the exploration of metaphysical disciplines after a near-death experience inspired a dramatic awakening. Now Happy teaches and shares his subconscious manifestation methodology, which we're going to get into today. Okay. Hello, Happy, and welcome to the Pathways Show.
Hi, Paul. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm really excited for our conversation today.
Now, we have something in common because I wrote the book Intuitive Intelligence, and we've done a lot of programming about intuition on this channel. So I'm very happy to have you here as the author of The Intuition Bible. And it is quite a compendium. And I read the whole thing. It's an amazing book. But what was your primary motivation for writing it?
To be really honest with you, I wasn't planning on writing it. I was writing something else. And I went to bed one night asking the universe for information that was very relevant at this time in the evolution of human spirituality or awareness or awakening. And I just said, use me. I don't care what you give me. Just help. So I went to sleep and I woke up with about 15 chapters, which I thought was the whole book of the Intuition Bible already in my head. And it was called Unleash Your Inner Wisdom because I thought Intuition Bible was just a good name for it. But really, it's all about unleashing your inner wisdom, the well of knowledge that exists within you. And the more I wrote, I would write down one chapter. I would think I was about to write down the chapter that I was told I was supposed to write. And then three more chapters would pop up. And then I ended up with 29 chapters.
Amazing. So connecting with intuition is important. Is that synonymous with connecting with your inner wisdom? And how does that, how does that benefit us?
Well,
and you say a lot about this in the book. I know the answers, but these are good questions.
Well, I really feel, first of all, let's define intuition. Intuition is any bit of information that comes from within you or the outer you, which is, I believe, you're part of the universe, that doesn't come from your usual logical way of thinking. Now, of course, you have to use your logical mind to decipher what's happening, but the universe, the inner universe and the outer universe, is connected to you, and it has your best interest at heart and it has an agenda for your success. And if you listen to it, if you tap into it, if you learn how to communicate with it, then you can basically navigate very rocky or very uncomfortable paths in your life with ease.
Now, when you say communicate with it, you're talking about becoming more receptive to it?
No, that's all it is, because it's always communicating. Your subconscious is the pathway to your inner world, and it's always talking to you, but it whispers. It doesn't speak too loudly, because our five senses are designed to help us survive in this world. So if the intuitive voice or the inner voice becomes too loud, we might not be aware of actual dangers, that like a tiger in the room. So we have to actually give it airtime, quiet our mind, or learn the communication, learn the way that your particular subconscious mind likes to communicate with you. And it's tapped into the entire universe within and without.
Right. Well, this brings up a lot of big questions. You know, Carl Jung talked about the collective unconscious. We could call it the superconscious mind or infinite intelligence or God. And tapping into that, I think that's what you're talking about. And the relationship between your personal subconscious and the collective unconscious is kind of, that's the linkage. Maybe that's what intuition helps. Maybe that's what intuition is. It's kind of the corpus callosum of our personal subconscious with the collective unconscious.
You know, I have to say, as much as I wrote the book, it was written through me. So some of it I had to like discover after I wrote it. So I was just, to me, some of it was like, what really? Am I writing this? Or I would read it back. And so I realized very early on, before I ever wrote the book, that we are tapped into this world of intelligence. And the only thing stopping us from tapping in or connecting with that is our frequency. Because we tend to let the barrage of information dictate our brain frequency, which is usually in high beta, which means it was working really fast. But when we slow it down with the simple act of even closing our eyes or quieting the room, it slows down and it syncs up to the frequency of the inner worlds. And all of a sudden, new information pops up. That's why when people take a shower, they get their best ideas, because there's no phone, there's nothing around, and you're in the shower, you're just by yourself, and all of a sudden you're inspired, or a question you asked 2 days ago finally has an answer.
Yeah. So it's you know, in my book, I use the example, I say it was called the sixth sense. And it's like the senses, the five senses, the sixth senses, they're antenna, and they bringing in information. And so you take the visual cortex or the auditory or whatever, it's streaming tons of information. And so there's so much noise in the system, whereas the sixth one, the sixth sense, is really fine. Like you say, it's speaking in a soft voice, and you have to subdue all of this noise coming in order to be able to receive it. You know, and so I really like the way that you explain this vast support system that we have, because that's, you know, that's an interesting concept. That's Jung's collective unconscious. You say it's a lie. The most widely accepted lie in all of humanity is that we are alone and do not have a vast support system. Can you speak to that?
Well, first of all, if you just think about the subconscious mind, that's your support system. It's this thing that's functioning all the time, and it's working overtime, whether you're awake or asleep, and it's supporting you to keep you alive. But if you want to talk about it in a spiritual sense or a non-physical way, you have a soul that decided to invest all its resources or a lot of its resources into your life right now, and it has your best interest at heart, and it wants you to succeed. It wants you to transform in as many ways as possible. If you want to go more spiritual than that, there's spirit guides, there's your dead relatives, your ancestors, there's God and angels, whatever you want to call it, but they are your support system. I don't think that this world would have been created and we would have just been thrown into this experiment called planet Earth without a fail-safe system, without support.
That's a nice assumption. Speak about, you know, I don't mind. We can get as spiritual as you like. In fact, I love it. It's to talk about spirit guides and what their role is and how that overlaps with intuition.
Well, I think it's all connected because, like I said, I use the word intuition as just like a catchy word that kind of, it means different things to different people. But I really just thought inner world, inner senses, and your, or what you call the sixth sense, which is really a lot of different inner senses just funneled through the same source that what we call one sense, which is a very just simple way of putting it.
Right.
But I really do believe that there are, I tell my sons, I'm like, they're elves, which is the best way that they understand. I'm like, they're little elves assigned to you your whole life to help you, guide you. And they're always talking. They always want to help you, but they can't interfere in your life until you ask or until you listen. And when you do, then they start speaking to you or you start learning how to hear them. So I think the idea of spirit guide or guardian angels or different religions have different terms for them, or your higher self, is the idea of a non-physical energy that knows what's coming, knows the end result of the decisions you would make, knows the probable world you could live in, and it can guide you on a moment-to-moment basis every time you're ready to make a decision or when you're lost. Or
how do you tap into that? How do you make the connection?
Honestly, it's the first thing is you have to have the desire and you have to have the belief. Then the second thing is that you have to quiet the mind and just see what comes to you. A lot of people think that it's their imagination and making these grandiose ideas up in their head. And a lot of times, that's the big vision that the universe has for you. But because you're stuck in this little tiny version of yourself, you just can't see the path from where you are to where your higher self believes you can go. So sometimes you just have to take a leap of faith, but ultimately it all comes down to learning the language of the subconscious mind, because the subconscious mind is the gateway to all the worlds. So you got to find out what the path of least resistance for you is and how you can communicate. For me, it's dreams. I get dreams that show me the future. I'm clairsentient, which means I feel things. So I will ask a question and I'll feel a big buzz if it's a yes, or I'll feel a nothing if it's a no. I'm a claircognizant. I'll ask a huge question, which means you receive information like a big download. And I'll ask a huge question and I'll receive the entire answer in like a split second. But there's a moment where I have to let go. You have to let go of your expectations. You have to let go of the outcome. You have to be open and you have to trust. And these sound like really big things. That's why my book is as thick as it is, because it really does guide you step by step and sees and shows you if what your superpowers are. And everybody's superpower is different. I have twin boys. They're 7.5, and one can feel and one's a super manifester. And I put them on stage with me if I have a demonstration or a show or something. And I demonstrate and use them as guinea pigs. And I show people, I said, look, you can't, they're twin boys, and they have complete different superpowers. And one is a master manifester because he has very extreme emotions and really hyper focus. So if he wants something, nothing will stop him except me. I will stop him because I don't think it's a good idea, but he will find another way because the universe always finds a way. And he's connected to his own source. And the other one says, I don't have good luck, daddy. I said, no, you just don't have good focus. And you compare yourself to your brother, which kind of brings me to the idea of what we're going through as a society right now. For those of you who don't like who the current president is, or for those of you who don't like who's the new president-elect, when you compare yourself to, or you decide that the outside world dictates who you are and how your life is going to pan out, you're at the mercy of the outside world. So when my son looks at his brother and says, he can manifest, but I cannot, because I'm in an environment where I constantly compare myself to somebody who's a master manifester, that impedes his own abilities. And when we look at a president, for example, or an election that didn't go our way, and we let that affect our mood and how we feel about our lives, we diminish our frequency, and then we diminish our abilities, our intuitive abilities, our manifestational abilities, and we end up in a low frequency having a horrible, horrible life, and we blame it on the president.
Well, we blame it on external circumstances that we have ideas about and feelings about. And so we project a lot onto external reality. I don't, it's a pretty hard habit to break. It's called the human ego. But. Now, you say in the book, more than 99% of our existence is non-physical. I found that to be interesting. I'm curious about that. You say only a thin layer is physical. It's that 1% that makes up all the galaxies, physical universes, and parallel realities. Okay, what do you mean more than 99% is non-physical?
Well, I believe that even this physical world that we live in is vibrating on a very specific frequency that can be perceived by our five senses and is translated into what we call physical reality. Because as you know, your eyes might look at the color red and see one color, and my eyes could look at the color red and see a different color. So it's all a perceived reality. But everything is made of energy, and everything is bouncing around on all different frequencies. Think of the frequencies of light. You know, there's radio waves, and then there's ultraviolet rays, and there's the frequency that we call the visible light. There's X-rays, there's all this stuff that's out there. And if you ever look at that chart, it's so big, but the part that we can see is very small.
Right.
And in the same way, the part that we can feel is also very small. We just don't have the measurements for it. The scientists haven't come up with that. But generally how one thing works with one thing is how it works with everything. And as above, so below. So I love to use the example of visible light. You can only see this tiny little fraction of it. And in the same way, everything in this world is energy, and everything is created on an energetic level first. But the thin layer that we can see is what we call physical reality. And if we learn to tap into different frequencies, so what you do is you widen your range of perceptivity using your inner senses, you can tap into other layers of your own reality that you normally cannot see, which might give you foresight, which might give you predictive abilities. But ultimately, if you can tap into the part of you that knows more about you and knows your soul's intention and knows what your best path to success is, and really learn to tap into that world, then you can have foresight and make better decisions. My dreams are a great example of how things are energetic first before they become physical.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have foresight. I saw the birth of my first son, the death of my first son. I got to communicate with my dead son for about a year and a half. He guided me towards the twins that I have, and I got to meet my twins long before they were born. And for a gay guy to have children, I have four total, and one is not here right now, is in heaven, and another one's actually just moved to Oregon for college. But my four children, if you think about it statistically, for a single gay guy to have all these kids that was not rich, it's really low. It's the statistics
for sure
are low.
What motivated you to do that?
My inner voice, my inner messages, and my inner voice, my what I call intuition, and it's beyond intuition. I was shown my children. I was shown how to have my children, who was going to have my children. I was given the confidence to take a leap of faith and shown the time that I was supposed to take that step. And all of that, the life that I live today is a direct result of my inner voice guiding me, because I was lost at the time. And I had decided that my idea of changing the world or helping the world or being a beacon of light was not realistic based on what my family thought, what my friends thought. They thought, you're at the time when I had my first vision of me changing the world or helping the world, I was 17 and I had just had a near-death experience, downloaded a ton of information overnight, and they thought I was crazy in 1995 for me to say, hey, I just figured out the meaning of life or meaning of happiness. People looked at me like I was nuts. So they said, you know how to draw, become a makeup artist. I went off my path, successful, but off my path. And then there was a day where my inner being or whoever it was, I don't even care, I don't want to label it, showed me a dream and showed me a son. And that led me back on my path, which I'm on now. And I owe it all to that inner guidance. But it's not always pretty.
Yeah. And that's what I was just going to ask you about, because in the book, you are very open about the fact that you had a suicide attempt at some point. Is that the same time period that you're talking about?
So when I was 17 is a suicide attempt. That was a failed suicide attempt. But because I relinquished all attachment to this world, I think my frequency rose high and tapped into a well of information. And I woke up with tons, about 2 years worth of writing. And that was the first indicator to me that there's an inner world that has knowledge that can be accessible outside of what you learn in school.
So it's like a near-death experience.
It's exactly a near-death experience, but it was self-induced, which I do not recommend to anybody, because if you kill yourself, you'll end up right back where you started, because the universe has a plan for you. And if you don't learn the lesson you're supposed to learn, you'll come back, but it'll come back with a little extra kick.
So you believe in reincarnation then?
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, my sister remembers so many of them. My sister is one of those people, she's a dreamer, and she's had so many dreams of her past lives, and she keeps going to those places and she recognizes the places. And she was my introduction to reincarnation. But then, you know, but I believe in it because I've downloaded stuff. And when you start downloading stuff, then you can't kind of fight it. You just can't.
So can anybody download stuff, or are there blocks to that?
Well, first of all, everyone's downloading stuff. So every day, every thought that you think is downloaded, but it's tuned into a very specific frequency that you're used to. And it's very much based on your belief system of what you're capable of doing. But when you learn to actively download larger forms of information, or wiser, or whatever you want to call it, you can have many blockages. And the first one is your belief system. You can actually receive like a full download, how to invent something right now, but because you don't consider yourself an inventor, your brain will just delete it. Or you might have an agenda. You might have this huge agenda to be a rock star, because you think you're supposed to use your voice, but your inner being keeps saying, no, you're supposed to have a podcast or something, and you're supposed to use your voice, you're supposed to be an activist. But because your agenda is so driven to, I have to be in front of an audience and be a rock star, you will forego all that and all of a sudden be 80 years old with total regret, saying, I was a failure as a rock star. So there's a lot of different reasons we misinterpret, and there's a lot of different reasons why we block. And kind of cut off the book.
you bring up emotions in the book and the relationship between emotions and the intuition. And of course, there's the old expression, it's a gut feeling. So it's like there's some kind of intersection between emotions and intuition. What do you have to say about that?
Well, in order to receive really good intuition or inner wisdom, your emotions should be more neutral. or slightly on the positive side, so you tune into a good frequency. When you have very extreme emotions, whether they're negative or positive, where they overpower you, there's no way that intuition can come through you clearly. It's like having a cup of water that has food coloring in it that's red, and your intuition is clear, and you keep pouring that into that cup of water that keeps turning red, and you're like, okay, I'm supposed to see red. But it's not that. It's just your filtration system isn't clear enough for you to actually see the real color of the water that you're right. receiving.
And what about the chakras? You talk about the chakras in the book. You point out that the sixth chakra, the third eye, is the one that's most relevant to intuition. But tell us about the chakras. And you say you've taken photos of them. Is this the Krillian photography stuff?
And this was something called it. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm curious about that.
It was through a machine called the Skio machine, which is like a biofeedback machine, and they attach little electrodes all over you. And at first I thought it was a joke because I thought, God, it can't be real. And then it just kept saying, you know, like I was drinking way too much Red Bull and said, you have aspartame poisoning. And it's very dramatic. But it would take it, but I was like, how does it know? Or I would literally, and it's not like it's plugged into your blood system. So at the same time, it can take photos of your aura. And mine's always really big. My chakras are really big up here and really tiny in my lower root chakras, which is your grounding chakra or your... So I really encourage people to remember that they have an energetic body. And if you want to work well, or you want your entire life to work well, work on the mind, body, the energetic body, the mental body, the physical body, and make sure that you're nourishing every single aspect of yourself. So eat well, make sure you're sleeping a lot, make sure you're actually using meditation to balance your chakras. And also, each chakra has a different attribute. Like one is more creative, one is more connected to the divine, once more your vocal, your expression. So when you do these meditations to balance it out, make sure that you're also behaving in the way that matches an open energy center, which right. you know. So if you're yeah go ahead.
Well, we're just about to run out of time. I mean, we could talk about the chakras on a whole show but and there's so much more we could explore. Your book is very comprehensive, but we have run out of time. And I want to be sure to tell our listeners about your website where they can go and get more information about your book and your work and your podcast. It's www.happyinsights.net. And there was an Instagram that you wanted to mention, right?
Yes. So Happy Insights Official. It's just full of bite-sized little bits of information. So check that
out. Cool. Well, thanks a lot for being with us today, Happy.
Thank you so much for having me.
And for those who may have tuned in to Pathways late, this is your host, Paul O'Brien, author of Intuitive Intelligence, a book that shares the theme of Pathways, which is personal and cultural evolution. Now, don't worry, you can play and or share this interview whenever you want via the internet or as a free podcast, and I'll tell you how in a minute. Today, we've been visiting with Happy Ali, author of The Intuition Bible, How and Why to Tap into Your Inner Wisdom. I want to say thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into Pathways, which is broadcast and streamed on the internet at www.kboo.fm every Sunday morning at 8:30 USA Pacific Time. And even better, podcasts of today's show, which you can listen to and forward to others, are available for free at divination.com. That's spelled divination.com, as well as via iTunes, Paulo's YouTube channel, and other free podcast servers. This is Paul O'Brien reminding you to tell your friends about Pathways Radio and podcasts. And thanks again to Happy Ali and to all of you listeners for tuning in and being a part of the Pathways conversation.
I'm Naomi Klein, and you are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM.
What does the average KBOO listener think of self-help radio?
This is so hard and complicated.
I have no idea what it is.
What's this old-time music?
I feel so proud of myself.
It seems kind of worthless.
Why does it